Well, good morning, guys. It's welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, June 11th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Vision for You Big Book meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There is a Solution, page 24, third paragraph, starts with, the alcoholic may say to himself through that one paragraph ending with, what's the use anyhow? Comments will be on that one paragraph. Today's readers are for the 12 steps, Susan G., 12 traditions, Lois G., Nancy R. will be reading our text, Vanita L. will be reading page 164, and Lynn S. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Chris W., second hour host is Colleen M. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, June 10th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, in case you missed it, 21473. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21474. So here's our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now have Susan G. read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Susan.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everybody. Welcome the newcomers. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, and I'm Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Pass.
Thanks, Susan. And now Lois G. will read our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Lois.
Hello. Thank you. This is Lois G. in Michigan, compulsive overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me read.
Well, thanks for your service, Lois. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There Is a Solution, because there is one. Page 24, third paragraph. And it says, the alcoholic may say to himself, through that one paragraph ending with, what's the use anyhow? And we'll just comment on that one paragraph. And Nancy R. is going to get us started. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you. Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. The alcoholic may say to himself in the most casual way, it won't burn me this time, so here's how. Or perhaps he doesn't think at all. How often have some of us begun to drink in this nonchalant way, and after the third or fourth, pounded on the bar and said to ourselves, for God's sake, how did I ever get started again? Only to have that thought supplanted by, well, I'll stop with the sixth drink, or what's the use anyhow? It's painful to read this paragraph because I can relate to it so well. How often have I said to myself in the most casual way, what's the use? You know, might as well just eat it. That's one of the things that my crazy twist of the mind tells me. You know, I don't know if it ever did. It probably did, but it doesn't today tell me it won't burn me this time. So here's how, because I know it's going to burn me. It's who cares? What does it matter? What's the use anyhow? Even before the first bite, those are the thoughts that I have. That's the way my strange twist of the mind tells me the dishonest thoughts that lure me back into the food. I had my abstinent dinner last night, and about half hour or so later, I was cleaning up the kitchen and I was putting away some food. And, you know, my crazy thought was, I just want to eat everything that's in this pan. And, you know, my mouth waters and I could smell it. And so I was just like, the crazy thought was right there. And the only thing that kept me from listening to that thought is this amazing gift of a pause that I have because of working this program, because of the solution, because of having had spiritual experiences that revolutionized my whole thinking. And I know that, yeah, I could have eaten that whole pan of food and it would have started this chain of misery and pounding my hand on the bar saying, oh my God, how did I ever get started again? Because when I'm listening to that lie of I could just eat this whole pan, nobody would know, what difference would it make? That's the way, that's last night what it was telling me. What difference would it make? Nobody would know because I could just eat it in secret. And my sponsor says, like, I'm not responsible for the first thought, but I am responsible for what happens next. And in and of myself, in this disease, I am powerless. But in the solution, I have power, and that power is God, my higher power. And I'm so grateful that I put that food away and walked away, and that I had that pause that only I only
Fine.
Get because, thank you, that pause that I only get because of having had these deep and effective spiritual experiences. So thank you, Pat.
Thanks for getting us started, Nancy. Okay, so we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow others or as many people as possible. All right, I'm ready. Go.
Kim B.
Oh, I didn't get any of that.
Janice P.M.
Janice.
Marie L.N.T.
Who was that?
Marie Ellen G.
Marie Ellen.
Kim B.
Pat B.
Kim B. I got Janice, Marie, Kim, Pat.
Elena C.
Elena C.
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G.
Susan M. in Florida.
Susan M.
David M.
David M. All right, I think that's a good start. So I have Janice, Marie, Kim, Pat, Elena, Chris, Susan, and David. Everybody will make sure they're muted, pressing star one. So when you have a nice quiet meeting, we'll get started with Janice PM, followed by Marie. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning to you, my dear. Yes, my name is Janice PM, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. What I've just read and what I've learned, and I still have to remember every day that I am a compulsive overeater, number one, and that I passed through the state. It says at the very first line up there in this page is a fact. And if you've experienced it, you know it. And I've experienced this state that the most powerful desire, the most powerful, I mean, it, you know, I've had many powerful desires, you know, through my illnesses, the doctor telling me about my diabetes and, you know, my home was getting in arrears. I mean, it was just, you know, everything was wrong. And I had, but I had the desire to stop drinking, but I just couldn't. I couldn't. Why? Because I'm a compulsive overeater and my mind is the problem. I am powerless in my mind. You know, we learn that, you know, I have a physical problem and I have a spiritual problem. It's a double sword. It's a whammy, right? My struggle with my mental obsession is the cause, and it can always come back. I'm not cured. It's the mental obsession causes me to pick up that first bite. So it's not about circumstances. It's not about death in the family. It's not about that, you know, my son has challenges. It's not about the weather. It's not about anything. It condemns me. This is what this mental, my mind is so, you know, is so sick that the thought comes before that action. For whatever crazy reason, I've had all kinds of reasons. So let me just taste it. You know, I'll just taste it. Well, I forget, you know, that I have a physical allergy. So it's going to start. That allergy never goes away in me, no matter how long I'm here, no matter what I do. So if that thought comes before I pick up that bite, you know, asparagus, I hate asparagus. I never get that thought that let me just have a taste. I don't have that obsession in my mind. Oh, let me go skiing. Well, I know I can't ski and I don't want to ski. It's too cold, whatever it is. I don't have that obsession. But when it comes to, thank you, to that irrational preoccupation in my mind about a donut or something that really sets that I really like, supposedly, I can't control it. And yes, the solution is to pause and ask my God to control my mind. He will give us the promise. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kelly. Janice. Next up is Marie, followed by Kim B. Marie, I didn't get your whole name and what you're calling.
Yes, it's Marie Ellen, and I am from New York.
Great, thank you.
Compulsive overeater. Thank you so much. I just wanted to jump in and share this morning because I so remember the days, and it wasn't that long ago, some 18 months, that the light would be on for me and I would be clean with food and eating what I should. And then slowly it would slip away. The light would start to turn off. That's literally how it felt. And I would feel my ability to take care of the food, which I realized was my own willpower. I could feel the food almost just becoming in control totally. I tried to explain that to doctors, and they would be snarky about it because they didn't get it. What do you mean? Food is not in control. It's in your mind. Well, it was in my mind, but I couldn't do anything about it at that time because I know about this beautiful program. I was completely subject to the food, which was crazy. But it is what would happen, and I would become really fearful. And before you know it, I was gaining much more than even what I lost, totally powerless. But today in this program, what everybody brings and what I have learned and the template I feel like I've gotten is that it helps me to slow down and pause. When my mind tells me these kinds of lies, I remind myself that I will compromise my relationship with God by putting food in the place of it blocks me from everything meaningful. So when those crazy thoughts come, and once in a while they still will, I step back and I remember, who am I doing this for? Well, yes, I am doing it for God. I'm doing it because I want to have a relationship with God. God is my higher power. Food will never satisfy what I believe God was made to fill. So I can choose food, or I can choose my higher power, which I call God. Without him, I have found life meaningless. Even when everything was wonderful, you know, great kids, good house, where I have it all, it's still meaningless. So that pause helps me step back and say, which do I choose? Two cannot stand in that place. Thank you for letting me share, I pass.
Thank you so much, Marie Ellen. And next up is Kim B, followed by Pat B. Good morning, Kim. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. I hope you can hear me. This is Kim B from Pennsylvania. I'm a compulsive overeater, and this is my first time calling in today. I've been listening for years, actually, and in and out of the rooms for over 20 years. I'm very nervous to make this call today, but I'm concerned about the concept of abstinence and been restricting and dieting every time I try to. After I restrict, I'll go on a I'll start binging massively. So I'm concerned about what abstinence looks like, and I've been making excuses for years. Just like this paragraph leads me to be reminded of my excuses. I was put on my first diet at 8 years old. I'm now 48, morbidly obese, and find myself making excuse after excuse. And I never had a sponsor. I'm terrified of this concept. But today it feels like I am ready to stop making excuses. I surrender and know I need to reach out to my higher power to save my life. And hoping for a miracle. And I know it takes one moment at a time, one meal at a time. And I'm just very scared today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, welcome, Kim. So glad to hear you. We love new voices. And please keep coming back because there is a solution. All right, next up is Pat B. and followed by Elena C. Pat, where are you calling from?
Oh, thank you so much, moderator, for your service. That's wonderful. It's Pat B., recovered, calling from Beamsville, Ontario, Canada. And this paragraph I just love because it's the original three lies that my ego tells me every time that I was, when I was in the food before I came to OA. You know, it won't burn me this time. I mean, it's like, oh yeah, no, this time it'll be fine. There's no problem. It's just one, and I'll stop. What's the use anyhow? Is the absolute discouragement that I felt when the night before I found OA, I was just crying, and I just thought. I had hurt my back at work. I couldn't exercise. And I was standing there eating in the kitchen. I did not want to be eating. And I was crying and I wanted to stop and I couldn't stop. And I just thought, oh, what's the use? What is the use of even trying anymore? And the diets didn't work. Nothing worked. And I was just so discouraged and so absolutely down about my whole weight problem, because that's what I thought was the problem, was my weight. And then I found this program the next day. God brought me to my Ebby, and I could not believe. I didn't know that I was allergic to food. I didn't know I had a disease. I didn't know there was a reason why diets wouldn't work, why pay and weigh wouldn't work. It had been around, and I had not known about it at all. And ever since then, I have been so willing to do whatever it takes to stay abstinent and to unblock the... Somebody said to unblock the street so the fire trucks can get down. And that's it, you know, getting on the fire truck to God. And I tell you, it just has made such a huge, huge difference. Somebody says, well, how do you work the program? I say, well, I don't work it. I live it. I am it. It's my life. It's the way I live. I can't imagine living that way. And hearing those words today, what's the use anyhow, just reminded me of where I used to be those many, many years ago and how I live now and the joy and the peace and the serenity and the blessings in my life. Oh, my goodness. What a difference. And it's all because of this program and the fellowship. Fine. And the book. And so thank you so much for letting me share. And I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Pappy. And next up, we have Elena C., followed by Chris G. Good morning, Elena. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Elena C. from South Carolina. So this paragraph is about the mental twist. It's about the dishonesty. It's about the thing that I used to tell myself. And I told myself many, many, many things, but I told myself those things because I totally was in love with that food, of the triggering food, you know. And I remember going to the store and buying just, at one point I gave up. I'm like, okay, this is it. And I did go and to the store and I bought 3 or 5 chocolates. And I said, well, you know, this is the last time I'm going to the store. But this time I might as well get all of it and eat all of it. And, you know, and that it was just because I had no idea that I have an allergy of the body, that, you know, my body, the phenomenal craving is going on if I put something in my body that's triggering. And then, you know, this, all of this, but it's not only about the food, it's about all the distorted thinking that I had about life in general, about the relationship in general, you know, like if I do this, this person is going to do that. Or, you know, if this person is doing this to me, this is what I'm doing to him because he did it to me. So it was all sorts of distortion. And the only way, and I attended therapy and still did not work. And it worked somewhat and it was helpful. But when I got into the 12 steps of recovery, my thoughts were like healed. And I now look at my triggering foods and I say, hell, you know, if I get that, I'm doomed. And that's how it was changed. You know, that thought was changed. I cannot put this thing in my body, and it's clear. The other day I dreamed about my eating chocolate. I dreamed about it, but yet still it's still in my unconscious that somehow, someday, I could do that again, you know. And then another way this thoughts were organized and rearranged is that it doesn't matter what the other person, what life is, what's outside of me, what life throws at me. I have a responsibility to do the best I can for myself and for others. And that's only... I develop a relationship with a power greater than myself, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Elena C. Next up, we have Chris G., followed by Susan M. Good morning, Chris. Where are you calling from? Oh, Tennessee. I know that. Never mind.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris G. I'm in Tennessee. And I just wanted to say that this reading talks about, I was a chocoholic. And the reading talks about, you know, I thought I could stop eating chocolate, you know, and I knew I needed to not eat any, you know, because that was the only way. If I just didn't eat any, but I didn't know how to stop eating it. I kept picking it back up. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks a lot.
Hey, girl, you caught me off guard. Okay, thanks, Chris. Next up is Susan M., followed by David M. Good morning, Susan. I think you're calling from Florida. Susan, star one.
Hi, this is Susan. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much, Susan M., Florida. Grateful to be here, recovered compulsive reader. And I'm so grateful for this paragraph. You know, I thought it was about the food. I thought if I could control my food, if I could find a food plan, if I could just get the discipline, I could make it happen. And I did try that for many decades. It did not work. And, you know, I came into this program and it's just like, oh my gosh, this is never going to be, this is never going to be it. But I was willing, you know, I was really desperate and I did what the people did in the book. It's that simple, you know, and I got what they got. And thank God there is a solution. You know, I don't have to come up with something creative. I tried many years of therapy. I tried listening to others, positive affirmations and, you know, getting to the root of the issue with my family of origin. I mean, I tried so many complicated, involved, complex ideas, but it's as simple as just following this book. And I'm so grateful for that, you know, because if I do what they did, I get what they got. And that's it. You know, I mean, I do have to put in some work. I have to get to meetings. I have to do some step work. I have to contact my sponsor. I do that daily, you know, work with the sponsee. And, you know, I have to pray to God, but still row to shore. So I'm rowing ashore. But as long as I do that, you know, I get the results. So really grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan M. And next up, we have David M. And we'll be opening up the floor again. Good morning, David. Where are you calling from?
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? Thanks.
I can.
David, I'm here. Glad to be here. Just recuperating from binge yesterday. After 2 months, there was a buildup of emotion. It wasn't just a normal craving. No, I didn't have a craving. Strong growth of emotions yesterday. And that really drew me to the food. A lot of stress, a lot of anxiety in a certain situation. And that's why I started getting, oh, I need food to comfort myself. And then, you know, it didn't help. All it did is make things a lot worse. And I turned into a rebel yesterday. I was just grouchy about everything, didn't want to talk to anybody, arguing with my spouse left and right, just being ornery, unreasonable, you know, not wanting to talk about things. It's just, you know, but there's like a light at the end of the tunnel, you know. And what I should have done, I'm beating the counter, you know, beating that counter, I'm beating the bar counter. I should have turned to my higher power, which I didn't. That was my fatal fall there. I should have turned the program. I wasn't going on meetings as much. I was half measuring it, as they say, and I had that build up of emotion, and I went to the food. And, you know, thank God for this program. I can get back on again and keep going and make it and strive even longer than I did before. And there's hope there. Yeah, I may be in the sea. I just have to swim back to the boat, you know, and just come back and my higher power meet me. I know program's always going to be there. Higher power is always going to be there. Sponsors, I don't know. I guess there's certain sponsors. If you act out a certain, that'd be good, another one. But I have one special sponsor that's been there for me, good and bad. So, we'll see what happens. If not, I'm going to the next one and try to do the best I can next time. And just remember when these come up, I guess I remember the shares in the program. The emotions come up, I guess I have to remember the program. And I have to
know
what my sponsor is saying. And with that, it's us.
David, where are you calling from? Okay.
Oh, sorry about that. David M. from Florida.
Okay, from Florida. Thanks, David, in case anybody wants to look you up on the member list. All right. So here's where we are, guys. We are in Big Book, AA. We're on There is a Solution, page 24, third paragraph. The alcoholic may say to himself through that one paragraph ending with, what's the use anyhow? So, and although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, we ask you to step back. So who would like to share on today's paragraph?
Hi,
Cheryl L. Cheryl L, Florida.
Michelle G.
Risk I from Baltimore.
Okay. All I heard was Russ, Cheryl, Stephanie, and Riska, but I missed somebody.
Jennifer
Michelle
G.
Jennifer C. Who was after Jennifer?
Pete.
Is there anybody else I missed? That are Russ, Cheryl, Stephanie, Riska, Jennifer, and Pete. All right, well, let's stop there then. Everybody star one to mute your phone. And Russ, get us started.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, family. Russ Emery, recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. So, you know, I when I read this, I got this, man. I got it, man. I dropped 75 pounds. I got this. I dropped 50 pounds. I got it. You know, I knocked off 30 pounds in a month. I have this in my pocket. And then I'm up about 75 pounds. I can't pay my bills. I can't do anything, man. And it's not going to burn me. I got it. I figured it out. My pride was in the way. I swear that stokes the obsession. It stokes the anxiety, stokes the emotion. And I knew so much until I was obliterated. That's the word of the day, obliterated for me. Because I was so, you know, in Sicilian we say gabados, hard head, testaruda, hard headed. I knew everything. I was educated and I was prideful. And like we always say, how is that working out for you? You know, and then I would get right into it. What's the use anyway? I'm going to die an addict junkie, and that's God's plan for my life. Until I was crushed. And when I was crushed, I could take help because I was I was losing everything, so I was willing to listen. And it's the best thing ever happened to me. When I read that paragraph, that's what I see. I hope I'm making sense to you. That I just, so many times I got caught up in banging on a bar, sitting at the buffet, gaining the weight, not being able to control myself, going and isolating, destroying my life because I had it figured out. So thanks for letting me share. Thanks, Kel, for taking the meeting. Appreciate you.
Well, thanks, Russ. All right, next up we have Cheryl L. followed by Stephanie. Good morning, Cheryl. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, everyone. This is Cheryl L. calling from beautiful, sunny Florida today. And I'm grateful to be on the line, grateful to be able to share. Two lines that really stick out for me on this in this reading today. Won't burn me this time. What's the use anyhow? These are emotional booby traps for me. The won't burn me this time happened in 2017, 2018, somewhere around there, because I knew how to eat healthy. I liked my healthy food. Life was getting really good, and I was, you know, I was rising. I was a rising star. I was back in college. I was working a professional job. I had everything going for me, but something had to go by the wayside because I was so busy living my life. And this is what went. This is what went by the wayside was OA. This is what went by the wayside was this desire deep inside of me to eat the foods that I once said were not foods for me to be eating. And that deep desire came back. And within a matter of months, I had gained back 15 pounds during the holidays. And then I started on that cycle of trying to control without coming back to OA. And for 4 years, I struggled. For 4 years, it was this insanity. You know, I'm going to try it this way. I'm going to try this way. My OA friends would see me, and I hid from them because I didn't want them to see me gaining weight. But that's what was happening. And inside, I was crushed. What's the use anyhow? That's an emotional booby trap for me that can still exist even today. when I get caught up in my negative emotions, and I can sit, and I still have negative emotions that creep up, fear, resentment, you know, anything like that, then I can go to that catastrophizing attitude. What's the use anyhow? I'm a failure at blah, 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 and I'm just going to end up, you know, fat and alone, and so I'm just going to pick up. But this time, I don't have to do that. Even if my mind tells me that's an option, it's not an option for me today. Instead, what I do is I call people, I talk to my sponsors, I do that self-searching on the inside. What's really behind this? What's behind the fear? You know, that's the solution for me today, and that's what I have to stick with. You know, there is hope in this program, and that's the message I want to carry today, is a message of hope, that we don't have to live like this anymore. We don't have to live in this misery, but it takes work. And it takes a lot of patience and a lot of love. And I love you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Cheryl L. Next up, we have Stephanie, followed by Rivka R. Stephanie, I didn't get the initial of your last name or where you're calling from.
Hi, Kelly. Yes, Stephanie R. from Missouri. What stood out for me, too, is what's the use anyhow? And I just have to say what a miracle that actual phrase means to me, because I have a fellow in program who is headed to California right now to donate a kidney to her sister. And I think we both were just in such a place of awe, because what's the use anyhow? The use is that we had the clarity to know, by not being in the food, that this was something that she could do. And it was such a gift. It was such a beautiful gift. And we were just marveling in the beauty of the program, because if she had still been in the food, I'm not sure. But we were thinking that maybe this would not be a gift that she would give to her sister. So what's the use anyhow? The use is that the clarity and the selflessness. I was literally in tears this morning because I was so very, very grateful to have that gift of seeing someone being so selfless and in such a place of surrender, following God's will. So when I get into myself and feel selfish and feel like I don't have anything to share or I don't need to make outreach calls, then I think that's being very selfish, because God wants me to be a gift to other people. And if I can do small gifts, then maybe my mind and heart and soul would be open to big gifts, and I can gift someone else to something wonderful, as my friend is doing today. So hang in there, newcomers. There's such a beautiful miracle in this program, and there are miracles every single day. And I'm experiencing one right now. So thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie R. So next up, we have Rivka R, followed by Jennifer C. Good morning, Rivka.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Kelly, for your service and everyone on the line and the fabulous shares. It's Rivka R, gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater in Baltimore. Yeah, I'll stop with the sixth drink. Like, how many times did I say, like, I'll stop with the sixth cookie? Like, I couldn't do that. And I'm just, you know, tonight there starts a two-day holiday in the Jewish religion, which, you know, is all about celebrating this, you know, a very intimate connection with God. And one of the traditional foods associated with this holiday happens to be cheesecake. and many years ago, I was pregnant with my seventh kid. I was in my seventh month, and it was the night before the holiday, and I had made 11 of these things, and I decided to taste one of them. And in a nonchalant way, you know, I took a bite, and I ate so many of those cheesecakes that actually my body reacted, and I did get burned. I went into preterm labor. I ended up in the hospital for an entire day. This is, you know, we had a whole large family coming from New York to stay with us, and I was supposed to be cooking, and I was laying in the hospital having contractions every 5 minutes. Of course, I didn't tell them that, you know, I had just binged on cheesecakes. But my body just was like, we can't do this, you know. I mean, thank God I got home before the holiday, but and that didn't stop me, you know, from eating more of that stuff. But that's what, I mean, the insanity of this disease is that it just violates everything that I hold, you know, the connection with everything that I hold dear, you know, like it violates the connection between me and God, you know, violates that sanctity. It violates the sanctity of my marriage because, you know, here I am meeting my real love in the parking lot of a supermarket, you know, and it certainly violates the sanctity the relationship with myself, like it, the preciousness of the life that I was given, and because it takes away my power of choice, and which makes me human. So, you know, restoring that power of choice to actually choose God, like someone said in the line today, like my choice is food or God, and like, you know, what is it going to be? And thank you, God, that I, you know, that choice is restored today, and I'm so grateful. So thanks, everybody, for being here, and for it just really, to me, it means a really striving for to choose life. And have a great day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Rivka R. Next up, we have Jennifer C., followed by Pete B. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. Thought I'd never say those words, recovered, recovered, recovered. All I wanted was to be recovered. And I remember when that line, a couple paragraphs above this, one this morning, lost the power of choice. I remember when that took on a new meaning. And I thought to myself, you know, what if I couldn't pay my bills today, right? Like, what if I really couldn't pay my bills to the point of my house being taken away from me? Would I think like robbing a bank was an option? Would robbing a bank be on the list? What are my options, right? I can't pay my bills. I'm going to lose my house. What are my options? Is robbing a bank on that list? It's funny, right? No, it's not on the list. It's what? Eating compulsively, taking that first bite had to not be on the list. Like I lost the power to choose that as an option. Because as long as it's an option, I'm going to choose it every time because I'm a compulsive overeater and it hits the spot like nothing else will, right? Until it doesn't, until it destroys me. Until it grabs me by the throat and I want to kill myself. And I remember that I knew that it couldn't be a choice anymore, just like robbing a bank wasn't a choice. But I was never addicted to robbing banks, so I never had to worry about that making the list. And I knew that I needed an entire psychic change. That's what I kept hearing. And I knew that I needed this spiritual experience and I needed to wake up spiritually, you know, the spiritual awakening. These three terms were interchangeable, and I knew that's what everyone was saying, but I knew that I didn't have it yet, and I knew I needed it, and I started asking God for it. I started asking God for that first compulsive bite to be as much of a choice as robbing a bank if I was out of money today. And I started praying like my life depended on it, because it did, right? Work as if it all depends on you. And pray as if it all depends on God, because it does. And that's what shifted, right? This word supplanted. For God's sake, how did I ever get started on this again? Only to have that thought supplanted by, well, I'll stop with the sixth drink. Because guess what? The only thing that relieves the pain of being in the food is more food. Because as soon as I come up for air, I have to feel the shame and the guilt and the regret, and oh my God, am I going to get on track again? And so the only thing that alleviates that pain is more food, and I'm in that cycle. And so I need all of that to be supplanted by the power and the presence of God in my life. I need the desire to fill myself with food to be supplanted by the desire to fill myself with God, because the Spirit of God is the only thing that really, truly satisfies me today, and it's the only place where more is better. More of God. more service, more fellowship. Thank you, God, for this meeting. Thank you, God, for your presence today. And thank you for supplanting the old with the new one day at a time. Ask God, ask God, ask God. That I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer C. Next up is Pete B. Hey, Pete.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for taking the meeting. I appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy, and I'm in Pennsylvania. I'm not there now, but in any case, you know, I don't think you have to be a social scientist to recognize that you know, food or the mental obsession, right, the mental obsession that people have with food is not unique to compulsive overeaters. You know, there are very, very few one-time winners at Weight Watchers, right? There are very, very few one-time winners, you know, people getting multiple, you know, cosmetic surgeries and multiple procedures. And, you know, for a lot of those people, it's just another round in the fight. You know what I mean? I was obsessed. I lost the weight. Okay, I got that. Okay, I'm going to get back on again, right? Like, you know, I've never been any other person, but I could witness it going on a regular basis. I can remember one time I was in with my family and my in-laws, and we were on the way to the ice cream parlor, and you know, my relative was saying how they definitely weren't going to have any ice cream. Definitely not going to have it. And then they got to the place, and she had ice cream. You know what I mean? You know, didn't call her sponsor afterwards. Didn't, you know, she had ice cream. You know, I changed my mind. And you see, what I have to recognize is that while the mental obsession and the mental blank spots, but it exists for me, but it's not what differentiates me from my fellows. See, what they're talking about here is that once the phenomena of craving starts, then I'm beyond human aid. Then, you know, we talk a lot about power, the power of the fellowship, the power of the program, higher power, lower power, mental power. I don't know about you, but I've had the big book in one hand and a pint of ice cream in the other, and in between, in my crotch, a pound of roasted and salted nuts. And I've prayed in earnest to not eat more of this food. And guess what won? The food, right? Because we're talking about a physiological experience that we have that people, normal eaters, hard eaters, moderate eaters, don't have. And that is what distinguishes me from my fellows. Now, here's the thing. While that exists, many of us remain recovered or are recovered. And why is that? We talk a lot about in this meeting about surrender, 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 surrender. You know, surrender means you lost, and we lost. We have to acknowledge that fact. The fight's over. They don't put, you know, champion the person who surrendered, right? They don't put that. When we surrender, we lost, and we have to embrace that. The fight is over. Food won.
Time.
It'll always win with that. But it also says, and I'm going to shut up with this, is that if we do this, the problem gets removed. It does not exist for us, right? And that's what we...
Well, I think you got cut off. Anyway, thanks, Pete. I don't know what happened. We have time for a two-minute share. Who would like to have that? Anybody want a two-minute share?
Leah S.
All right, Leah, go.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. from Brooklyn, New York. Recovered and so grateful. And that's the truth. I'm just going to piggyback on Pete. So the truth is that I kept on saying, I'm so unique. I'm really, really unique. You know, I can eat all this junk and then I can lose all the weight. So I'm not like one of you, and I'm not compulsive, and I'm not an addict, and I'm not So all that denial didn't allow me to even have that open mind to experience what I can experience and what is open to me through God's grace, only through God's grace, because so many things and so much abuse that I did. Wow, the big book says that our bodies are such wonderful mechanisms. They really, really regenerate without any kind of electricity. It's just like, it's super, super natural. So it must be God. It just must be God. So, you know, open that mind just a tiny little bit, just a tiny little bit, and see what happens. The miracle does happen, and it keeps on happening every single day and every time again and again. It's like just unbelievable. And when you witness it, just spread it, because it's true, it's true. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you. Good timing, Leah. Appreciate you. All right. So thanks to everybody who shared. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following this closing. So the share ID for today, June 11th, 2024, is 21476. 21476. Okay, well, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Benita L., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you.